Welcome to my blog talk radio show, Love Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach, singer, songwriter, and author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I'm happy to have Leif Sorby back as my guest. Join us for a conversation about Leif's band Tempest and hear songs from their new release, Tempest, live on air. Welcome, Leif.
Hey, Margot, how are you?
I am so happy and excited to have you back on the show. We had
so much fun that
last two times, and it's just I couldn't wait to have you back on the show.
Thank you. It's lovely to be back. It's been a couple of years, you know,
and here we are again,
you know, yet another Tempest album, Seeing the Light of Day, coming out now July 1st, and we're all excited about it. And I know you've done a lot of radio shows since I talked with you last. I mean, this is what, your number 200 now, or?
Over 200. I've done over 200 shows. Not since I talked to you last, just since I started doing the show, though.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, at first I did them every week, and then now I do them between 2 to 4 times a month, depending on what's going on in my life, because I like to have a little time for my life, too. But, yeah, it's one of the things I absolutely love to do is to host this show, Live Your Music. But
yeah, it's
also
a lot
of other things I love to do too. So yeah, I balance it.
Well, that's the thing, you know, keep good quality of life as you move along with what you're doing. You know, it's important for sure. And yeah, especially these days, unusual times for us right now, you know, staying at home and changing our lifestyles and you know, it's interesting times, to say the least.
Oh, yes. yes. It's so true. Oh, my gosh. And you know what is interesting, too, though, is that I see so many people concerned about the uncertainty. And, yes, there is a ton of uncertainty right now. But the thing is that really in life, we really don't, nothing's really totally certain, and none of us know how long we're going to be here, but this has just kind of brought it into our attention that, oh yeah, maybe I better appreciate my life and the people and the animals and the places in it right now, you know?
Exactly, and you know, and during darkness, the best thing you can do is turn on the light and the darkness will disappear, you know?
Exactly. And it's, you know, it's been a constant reminder for me to do two things, focus and practice, decide what I'm going to focus on and practice looking for what's good and practice being in the moment and practice feeling gratitude for what is right in life and my life and my friends and family's lives. And yeah, I don't know. It's like this really weird, surreal reality that we're in lately.
Yeah, it's certainly different. we're living in these very unusual times. You know, my favorite songwriter, I'd say he's one of my favorite songwriters. Anyways,
yeah.
Is this fella, Robin Williamson, from a Scottish band from the 60s and 70s called the Incredible String Band. And I remember he wrote this the song that, like, the lyrics have really come real to me, like, over the last couple of months. He'd say, "These are the mythic times when gods and heroes live. The thirsty earth will suck up blood as fast as we can give." And I think that really sums it up for me anyway. It's like there's a lot of significance in a global transformation, you know?
I know. The fact that it's global is so amazing because the fact that we're all in this together and yet we're all in it in different ways. I mean, everybody's affected differently by it depending on what kind of work that they've been doing, what their family's like, whether they live alone or whether they live with a lot of people, whether they live with people they love and get along with or people they don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know. I just feel really privileged that during this time, I got a good home, my wife and my kitties. I can, you know, take time and work on projects and, you know, find a way to survive, and I know that we'll all get through this together. And so, being in that space, I'm privileged in so many ways compared to other parts of the world, you know. And some good things have come out of it, like this new CD that's coming out July 1st, Tempest mm-hmm. Live on the Air, is a direct result of what's going on, and the fact that we've been sheltering in place. And in my shelter here, I have such a great archival a great archive of old Tempest material that I've been able to go through and check out during these days, you know, and especially all the radio shows we've done over the years, and that's what I've been able to compile. I've been able to listen through it and pick some of the best performances going all the way back to 1992. And part of Tempest has always been, you know, visiting radio stations and playing live on the air for, you know, NPR stations and college stations and stuff. And mm-hmm. And it's one of the things that, you know, because you come into a new city and you want people to know you're in town, you want to give them a sample of your music, and you're invited to the radio station. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. it's part of our touring life, and I you know, had the fortune of collecting these recordings over the years and realized that the fans need to hear this stuff again. You know, there's stuff that we did on the radio that we never put on our studio albums, and the more I listened to it, the more I found that I got something here that I should share with our fans and make it available. So that's been the latest project that I've been working on during this quarantine time, and it's been a great little journey for me, like revisiting all these recordings, and I'm super super excited about sharing it to our fans and friends, you know.
Oh yeah, well, you know, I mean, I love the cover too. It looks like an old radio, which is awesome, and you know, live
yeah.
live on the air. I just love that. I think it looks so cool. And
yeah, thank you, Margot. Thank you. Yeah,
yeah, and I like on the back how you have all the different locations where they were.
Mm-hmm.
Berkeley and Columbus, Ohio, and Stockton and Yellow Springs, Ohio, and Danish radio even you've got in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, we got a couple of tracks that were recorded at bigger festivals, and one of them was the Skagen Festival in Denmark, where
mm-hmm.
we played, I think, three times during the 90s. Big, big festival, and Danish National Radio was broadcasting it, and, you know, here I was, lucky enough to get a copy of the recording. So that's live on the stage in Denmark, you know, brought to you by Danish radio. So it's cool, you know, and it's so much fun to listen back to that stuff, you know, because I don't really listen to our recordings unless there's a purpose for it like this. And so it's been educational and fun. And yeah, I mean, and KPFA in Berkeley has been good to us over the years. And their Studio A is as good as any recording studio in many ways. You know, we get really good quality recordings out of some of these radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to be, you know, sounding like a bootleg record. It sounds like a good mastered studio album in many ways, except the performances are live. They're one-takers, you know. And
exactly, yeah,
yeah. And so they're more spontaneous than the albums. That's the main difference. The other difference is that some of the arrangements are different too, because we had to strip down in some of the performance spaces. Like, we maybe couldn't have a full drum kit, so we would bring in hand percussion, you know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
and come up with sparser, more acoustic arrangements. And they suit some of these songs really well. So it sounds different. It's a very folky record. You know, it's folk music, though on the other hand we have some really heavy duty big rock songs as well. You know, it's got a lot of variety, and it's got a great spirit, very spontaneous spirit to it, which is great.
Well, you know, you've got such a joyful and fun spirit that your spirit gets into all of everything that you create and everything you do and all of the music. And it's just, I want so much, once we can all go back out and be in live performances, to come and see you guys more times live, because that is such an incredible experience to be able to be there with all of you live, and then also to see all the people dancing and the experience that it is. I think that that's one of the things that these live songs are going to do, though, is remind some of the people in these various cities that the shows, radio shows, are from. Oh, wow, I remember when Tempest did that, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's good. Well, thanks for your kind words there, Margo. We miss live performance. And, you know, we were ready to go out on our big annual spring tour when the virus hit. And I mean, it was like we had done the first date, which was March. Our spring tour officially started at the Sonora Celtic Fair here in California, and then we were going to headline the Dublin Irish Fest also in California, and play our St. Patrick's Day shows and my big annual birthday show, and then head straight out to the Midwest, and from there to the East Coast, and then back across the country. And within 2 weeks, we had more than 30 dates canceled on us. So you can imagine what it's like being on the receiving end of that. some interesting 2 weeks, because, you know, I'm always thinking, well, you know, it's just this one gig. We'll go to plan B. Oh, there's just this other gig. And pretty soon, people started canceling into the summer. And at that point, I knew that we were going to lock ourselves in for a while, you know, and I knew that I had to kind of shift gear. And the thing, you know, I mean, you know, they call it music business, and it is a business, and Tempest, like any other business, costs money. You know, we have bills coming in, and we had just, you know, paid a lot of money to promote this tour, and we had a whole truckload of T-shirts, hundreds of T-shirts with the tour dates printed on the back, like we always do, you know, for the you know, 3 months period of touring, and I go, what are we gonna do now? Somebody, you know, we had that shirt for the first show, which was the Sonora show, where all the band members wore the shirts proudly to announce that, you know, we had the new 2020 tour shirts available. And people took pictures, and they saw it on social media. And somebody on Facebook contacted me and said, can I get one of those shirts? And I said, well, they're only available at shows. And then I realized there is no shows. So I go, okay. You know, so and somebody else saw it, and they sent a PayPal payment. And pretty soon, organically, it snowballed. And I was able to sell all the shirts online. And I thought, wow. This is good. Now we pay the bills. Let's go to the next project. And for a while, I thought, well, what are we going to do now? And then I back to the radio stuff again. I was listening on the radio, on internet radio, and there's our old friend, our mutual friend, Robert Berry, talking on a radio show with an interview with this guy called Paul Bulatovich in the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, you just happened to listen to it, and I heard Robert's voice. And Paul, who's the guitar player for Carl Palmer's band, I believe, a young, very talented guitar player, he said, so, Robert, what are you going to do now with your dates canceled and all the stuff? What's your plans for the, you know, next future and stuff? And Robert said, well, you know, I got this great recording studio in Campbell, California, and I work with this Celtic rock band Tempest, and I'd love to invite them down here to do a live stream concert on the air. And at that point, I go like, wow, you know, I'm just going like, this is interesting. So I had never really thought I would want to jump on the live stream bandwagon. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because it's one of those things where all of a sudden everybody was on Facebook Live, and it was kind of overwhelming, you know.
Right.
But when I heard Robert say, when I heard Robert say that on the air, I go like, well, I better give him a call. So as soon as he was off the air with Paul in the UK, I called him up. I said, Robert, were you kidding, or do you want us to come down and do a live stream? He said, let's do it. And we set up a date right then and there. So that's what we did last month. We did a really fun live stream concert from Soundtech Studios. And
that was fun. I really enjoyed it. And, you know, I loved that it was free, but that you could people could send PayPal donations. Well, not donations, but they could send money if they wanted to.
Yeah.
As thank yous. And I thought the way you guys did that was a beautiful way to do it, too, because then people can pay whatever they can afford. And some people can afford a lot. And some can only afford a little, but yeah.
You know, for some people, you know, a dollar can be quite a lot. And for other people, you know, they can afford more. And we didn't look at it as you know, a lot of people do like a virtual tip jar. We didn't really touch that subject. It was more like, hey, you know, if you can donate, you know, this is a free concert. And a lot of people had been asking us, though, you know, leading up to it during the month of March and April, people said, why don't you do Facebook Live? Why don't you do Facebook Live? And I got to the point that I was totally sick of hearing it, you know, but by the time we decided to do it, we knew we would do it right. You know, we knew that with Robert, it would be good quality stuff. We would be able to present ourselves the way we wanted to. We would have a big enough space to have social distancing in the studio while we're doing the show. And we'll even sneak in a couple of guests. So we have a couple of hidden people to play to, because the music comes alive in the connection between, you know, the artist and the audience. So we set it up to work for us, and I basically said, hey, if you feel like donating, we can really use it. So some people were very, very generous, and that you know, it's these kind of project helps us through these times. You know what I mean? It's you know, because we made all our money from live performances, pretty much. You know, and all of a sudden, you don't have any work, you know what I mean? So doing the show at Soundtech really helped that. So instead of doing a bunch of little live streams, we might, you know, look at, be very, very selective, and we're happy to announce the second one's going to be at Soundtech Studio. It'll be Tempest back by popular demand on Thursday, July 30th. And we'll
30th,
do it again with even more more sophisticated equipment. Well, I think we'll have a third camera with us this time, and this time the show will be based on requests that we didn't get to the first time, because we put together, you know, an hour show that we wanted to present, and a lot of people were missing some of the old songs. So this time we've gone, hey, you know, we're just going to do all the old songs that people wanted the first time, too. So,
well, that's cool.
That'll be good.
Yeah. I'm already looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, you're the first one to know about it, except the band and Robert and I. You know?
And now whoever's listening to us live at the moment, and whoever listens to the replays after the show as well.
Exactly.
They'll know about
it. This is the first official announcement that, yeah, there'll be a Tempest Live at Soundtech. Part two, a whole new show coming to you on July 30th. And, of course, July 1st is the release date of the new album. So right there, you know, there's been some good activity as a result of this in shelter and staying at home period. You know what I mean? And it feels good to use these times to not only reflect and sort of be part of a positive evolution, but having a chance to come up with new and different projects that you wouldn't normally have done otherwise, you know, and that's a very, very positive thing, you know.
Totally. And there's some problem solving questions that I included in my book, The Art of Living a Life You Love, and the first one of them is what's good about this. And a lot of times when something really bad like this, you're going, oh, nothing, you know, and then you have to keep asking, well, what could be good about this? What could be good about this?
Well,
and then, yeah, and then the second question is, what are my desired outcomes? And the third one, what am I willing to stop doing? And there's a big one, because it's like, I'm willing to stop complaining that we can't do this, or this changed, or that changed, or that I have to stay at home, or whatever. And then what am I willing to do? You were willing to look for what was something creative that you could do during this time, and ways that you could be of service and that you could give back. And how can I enjoy the process? You know, you were enjoying the process, definitely,
yeah,
while you were doing these things. And it all shows, Leif, you know, the joy that you feel, the excitement that you feel, the connection that you feel, is something that everybody else feels as well when they listen to what you have to say, and what, and when you're banned. And, you know, we're going to run out of time to play the songs if I don't start playing them, though. So I think.
Well, thanks again for your kind words, and let's listen to some of the music, huh?
Okay. That sounds great, yeah.
All
okay,
right.
So I'm going to play the first song that I have queued up. And
okay, which one is it? I'm curious.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to, if you want, you can talk a little bit about it before, or we can mostly talk about it after.
Why don't we listen to the songs and see what comes to mind afterwards.
Okay, the first song I'm going to play is track 3 from the Live On Air album, and it's called One for the Fiddler.
Okay, so, good one.
Yeah, so I'm going to just have to scroll down and cue that up. Here it is. Okay, it's about 3.5 minutes, and I will talk to you after the song.
Sounds good.
One and all, find the chorus and the verses. Well, love is not a chin she's play. Stay up until the break of day. Well, thank you to the fiddler. Well, then the people from the street, the folks come for romancing. You kick the shoes from your feet. And the dancing, well, love is a virgin to play. The answers of the break of day, grow tiny to the fiddler.
Hey!
All you buskers, tramps, and fools. Join the party on the dance floor. There won't be any fights or rules to push you out the back door. Well, love is not the gym to play. Stay up until the break of day. Girl, pay you to the fiddler.
Been a long, hard trip. You travel far to be here.
Well, now it's time for chin to play. Play out until the break of day. Throw a penny to the peddler.
Hey!
Thank you.
choice and the tunes you play. The answers and the break and break. Well, they need you to peddle.
Celtic music on steroids.
There you go.
Tempest. And here they come with their last live.
Oh, Leaf. Oh,
it's
my gosh.
Like,
you
can definitely tell we're on the radio with that one.
You know, it's so cool, though, because it's like bringing back memories of times that you were on the radio, and for the people that were listening to the radio, I have to say that I kind of miss having the radio on more often. We used to listen to the radio a lot while we were working down in.
Yeah.
But, you know, lately, I don't know, for me the problem with radio is the ads.
I know what you mean. And that's why you know we usually been like that that song we just heard, One for the Fiddler, was recorded at an NPR affiliate in Columbus, Ohio, called WCBE, and that's the cool thing, you know, listener sponsored radio. You don't have all the commercial stuff, you know, and they got more active listeners too. It's one thing I learned really early on is like when you're on commercial radio. You can't really count on people to respond the way you can on public radio. Public radio, you can have people call in. You can ask questions like, you know, the third caller will win a ticket to tonight's show. And all of a sudden it lights up. You know, you got like all the lines are busy. And you try that on commercial radio and you barely get anybody calling in. So it's like it's that connection to the audience again that we feel on stage. We also feel when we play for public radio stations. You know, it's important, that connection. You know.
Yeah. Well, so you know, connection is so important. You know, connection, communication, creation, collaboration, and celebration. I call those the five C's.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, they're
go.
All important, and you know, you guys do all of that. You do it just, and I was thinking about a lot this morning. About vibration and music and resonance and how music can lift your spirits. And oh my gosh, it just does. You know, depending on what you choose to play. I mean, if you choose to play a sad song, it's not gonna. Well, actually, if you're already feeling sad, it can sometimes even that can raise your resonance. But
yeah, I mean, the blues was very uplifting, and it was all about the hard times, and still is. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, that's the thing I like about folk music too. It's the human experience on all its levels. You know what I mean? It's all important, all the emotions. You know, and it's in the music, you know.
It's the
human condition. We're all here trying to get along as best as we can, you know.
Yeah, hopefully we're all trying to get along. I mean, I know I am, but you know, it seems like some people think they're the only ones in the world. But
you know, that's what we're going through right now. My subjective opinion about this whole pandemic stuff is that. You know, I believe nature has its own intelligence, and nature is saying enough already. You know what I mean? You're mistreating your planet. You're mistreating each other. You know what I mean? This is so. I look at it as a catalyst for a transformation. You know, and hopefully, and I do believe we'll come out with an Earth that would be, you know, redesigned for the better. You know, towards equality and kindness and. Spiritual awareness, and you know, improved science, technology. I mean, I'm looking at good things ahead, but it's all right now. It's pretty dark, but you know,
well, it
that's
is.
When
but
we,
you're
the,
right.
The,
I mean, it's been clearing up the air. People aren't driving as much, so there's not as much pollution in the air, and the waters are getting more cleared, and people are having a time where they actually have to, unless they're some of the essential workers, you know, the healthcare workers that are working way more and harder, but And then, of course, some of the parents I've talked to that have little kids and they're trying to work out at home and they're not used to working out of home and they're trying to homeschool the kids and everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, so everybody definitely has different times. But I think we're all getting a chance to take a look at how we've been choosing to live our life and how we've been choosing to spend our time. And it's time to make some decisions about what we're all going to focus on, what things mean to us, and what we're going to do about it. So, you know.
Exactly. And we got a new generation that has bringing new energy into it. And I see a lot of good things on the horizon, you know. So that's good. We'll get through this together. And in the meantime, we got lots of music, you know.
Yeah.
What else did you cue up? I'm curious, from the album.
I have track number 13 called Great Departure, and I've got that ready to play as well.
Interesting. Let's check it out.
Okay, so let's see. Okay, I have a whole long list of songs in here from previous shows that I haven't wanted to delete. So
yeah, make sure it's Tempest as the artist there and not, you know, Peter and Gordon or something.
No, it says right there. It says Great Departure Tempest 2010.
All right.
Berkeley.
There you go.
Here we go. The Great Departure. I'm curious to hear what you have to say about that, Leif.
Well, that song was written like shortly after my dad passed away about 10 years ago.
Oh.
And it was really like reflections on how poorly our culture deals with death in general, you know, compared to other parts of the world. And you know, as an example, you know, you don't cry every evening when the sun goes down, because you know it's going to rise again. You know, it's the natural cycle of life. And I have a very strong subjective belief that we're not limited to one lifetime. You know, and so those were some of my thoughts during that time. And it talks about Mighty Mara. Well, how's the chorus again? Man breathes in and then breathes out. To birth, returns again. Mighty Mara calls on him. Breath comes to an end. So Mara is the goddess of death, and of course the breath is, you know, the life force, the human life force. So it's all about that. And the song was featured on our album that we recorded, I think, in 2010 with Robert Berry at Soundtech, and the album was called Another Dawn, and. I always felt when I heard the stripped-down acoustic version that we did at KPFA Studios around that time, I believe, yeah, just after the record came out in 2010, when I heard this acoustic version, I thought, you know, the song comes across stronger in this format, sparser, you know what I mean, a little bit, you know, more intimate. And so I was very excited when I found this version in my archives. So Great Departure, it's a very personal song. It was written with my wife Patricia, and one of those songs that I totally rediscovered by doing this project. I'd forgotten all about this song, you know.
I don't listen
to Old Temple. Yeah.
You have recorded so many songs. You have performed so many songs that I can't even believe it. It's no wonder that some of them you don't even remember. And
yeah, and some of them, you know, some of them works better in the studio. So they're great on the record, you know, and then. They might not work as well live because you brought them into the studio. They might not have been finished totally, you know. But the songs you bring into the studio that you actually had a chance to perform in front of an audience for an extensive period of time tend to be the one you stick with in your live performance because they're really crafted in front of an audience. Like this song, Great Departure, was one of those was just kind of written for the album, and maybe we gave it a trial run at a few shows, but it really developed in the studio. And they tend to stay that way as studio recordings and not necessarily the ones you get back to in performance in front of an audience. And those are the songs you tend to forget about. Because, as I said, I don't listen to my own records, so I that's when I forget about them. So I had there was quite a journey for me to go through the archives and finding these songs, and that was one of them. You know, it's a very emotional song, but to me, it's also a very uplifting song, and it kind of gave, you know, the whole idea of another dawn. You know, that you know, death is not the end, kind of a song. And I was never really close with my dad. He kind of represented values that I was against growing up, you know. And so we didn't have a really close relationship, but I did have a chance to talk to him right before he passed away on the phone. He obviously lives in, and he lived in Norway and we had a chance to talk, and I felt good, you know. I had closure there, you know, So I feel good about the song and the whole experience of you know, being born into that situation. So anyway,
I agree with you. I believe that we come back more than as many times as we want, really. But I also love what Abraham Hicks says about it too. They don't even like to call it death or dying. They call it croaking because. They said that, you know, it's the proper amount of disrespect for it, because you don't really die. You just change form. You change form into energy, and then you can come back too if you want.
Yeah,
to.
And I always think of it in very simplistic terms. You know, it's like, you know, you have a bird locked into a cage, and you open the cage door, and the bird just fly free. You know, or you have a really, you know, you might be an old person, and you have all sorts of physical problems, and your life is almost like you're wearing a shoe that's not comfortable anymore. But the minute you take that shoe off, you know, your foot starts bleeding again. You know, I truly believe that, having a better relationship towards that transformation between life and death is sorely needed in our culture. And I think that could be, you know, part of what we're looking at, and more awareness in the future towards that as well, you know, as we go through this global transformation of ours, you know.
Yeah, I like that you call it a transformation, and then transition. That's what I think Abraham Hicks called it, making your transition to non-physical.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take it a step further, too. Like, I've always been really interested in Vedic science and Vedic culture, and we're talking about the different phases and the different stages the world goes through as yugas. There's four yugas, and what we're about to enter is Satyuga, which... Sat is the Sanskrit word for true essence or nature. So in Satyuga, you have goodness rules, and passion comes second, and ignorance comes last. Mm-hmm. And this rise to Satyuga, this transformation happens in the middle of the dark times, the Kali Yuga, Kali being the goddess of destruction. In the dark times, you have ignorance rules, passion second, and goodness last. So right now we're in that phase shift into Satyuga, and it's been predicted and talked about for millennials. You know what I mean? So this is something that I've been hearing about for years, and you know, people even talked about, yeah, you're going to see military in the streets, people are going to be dying, you know, all this stuff, and it's happening. You know, it's very profound times we're in, to say the least.
You know, Lou, if we only have 2 minutes left, so what would you like to leave our listeners with?
Oh, I want to tell them that you can only get the new CD by mail order, right, directly from Tempest. And if you mail order now, you get a signed, if you mail order before July 1st, you get a signed copy by the band, okay? And our website is tempestmusic.com. And that's the only way you can get this CD, because it's a limited edition collector's item. And it truly is. And it's probably not the only one we'll be releasing. We're looking at maybe later in 6 months or so, there might be a second volume of it. So they can't really stay in print for that long. So people should order it. And it'll support us through these kind of tricky financial times. And it gives you something that I think it has real value, especially for old Tempest fans, because it's a very different record, you know?
Yeah, because it goes all the way from 1992 through 2018.
Yeah,
so there's a lot of concerts there. Well, Leif, thank you so much for being back on my show. Thank you for all of the ways that you live your music. And
all I can say is thank you for having me again. You know, these are my favorite subject matters, and I can talk about all this stuff for days. You know, it's lovely, and you keep up your good work, and keep that show on the air, hopefully we can come back and do it again soon. And don't forget our next live stream with our good friend Robert Berry, who, by the way, is somebody I'm proud to call my friend. He's one of the most generous, talented people I know. And having us back there at Soundtech July 30th for another live stream is going to be a blast.
That's going to be awesome.
That's going to be fun.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Leif, for living your music. everyone, share this show with your family and friends. Do it and let them listen to it. And thank you, Leif. Thanks again
thank
for
you.
Being
thank
on
you,
the show.
Thank you, Margo. Have a lovely day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.